Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, hey, what's up, everybody? It's Kevin and Andrew, and this is the Jayhawk Talk Podcast, Final Four Edition. Andrew, I'm still up in the clouds. How are you doing?
Dude, Final Four. So we've been doing this podcast since 2012, but we started just after the 2012 national runner-up game. Or just so in the months preceding that. So we have never had a Final Four on this podcast. We've been very, very close. Mm-hmm. We've had 2013. We had Mitch McGarry game, Sweet 16, Trey Burke, last shot. We had a couple rough years we won't talk about with Stanford, Wichita State. And then we've had Villanova, close game a couple years ago. We had last year with Oregon. Don't want to talk about that. But this game, we finally break through. The Jayhawk Talk Podcast is going to talk about a Final Four, Kevin. We've got huge week coming up. We've got a game on Saturday, hopefully a game on Monday. But a lot of talk about, we just beat Duke. We just beat Duke in overtime.
Duke. Oh, it just feels so good. I just, at the end of the game, I mean, I was already so happy, and then you just look up and you see Coach K just like despondent. You see, see Grayson just like he's putting his hands down on his knees. And like normally I sort of feel for the other side a little bit. Well, like when your career's over in college or, you know, the season's over. I was just laughing.
Not that guy. not feeling it for that guy.
Not for Duke. Not for Kay. Not for Grayson. F them. We just won. Freaking one seed was a 3.5-point dog. We showed Vegas what's up. We showed Duke what's up. And we showed all the haters who said this was not the team. This was not a Bill Self team. This was not a normal Kansas team. Come out and prove them all wrong, getting to the Final Four. How about that?
How about that, Kevin? Well, let's go over a couple housekeeping matters. I think we should do as much content as we possibly can this week, if you're into it. Every night, podcast every night. And I think that people would listen to it. I would listen to it. I'll listen to it back, in fact. I just want someone to talk about KU. Might as well listen to myself talk about it.
I hear that.
But so let's just keep this one as a reaction to this past weekend. No one wants to talk about the Clemson game, so let's talk about Duke.
We won that one, too.
Just reaction, and then let's talk about, you know, some things going forward. But let's save kind of a preview of Villanova and then potentially Loyola or Michigan for something later on down the week. Does that work?
That's fine. We'll figure it out.
All right, so topic number one. I'll just come up with some topics. Let's talk about it. Malik Newman probably is going to the NBA.
Oh, you think?
I don't want to talk about NBA. I just want to talk about Malik Newman is the guy we were told he was.
Yeah.
He has been incredible. He was voted most outstanding player of the Midwest region, and obviously he was. Had 31 points in this game, 12 points coming in overtime. He had all of our 12 points in overtime, 12 or 13, whatever it was, 12 in overtime, and was incredible. Best player on the floor, and he was exactly what we needed. Malik Newman, talk about him.
There was a time during this game, especially late in the second half, where I even tweeted it, I said, I don't want Devontae Graham with the ball right now. Like, at what point in the season did you say, I don't want Devontae taking this team? I don't want Devontae lead starting the offense. I wanted the ball in only Malik's hands at a certain point of that game. And it turned out to be good. Like every time he had the ball, something good happened. He made 32 points. Here's his last seven games, Andrew. 32, 17, 28. He had 10 in that Penn game, which whatever. 20, 22, and 30. Like that's what he's done the last seven games. Like, give me a break. Dude's a monster. And so, and he's shooting the 3-point ball, obviously really, really, really well. And he's the Malik who was promised. He's the Malik who was promised.
Here's what I want to say about Devontae in that situation. agree with you on, like, Devontae doesn't need to have the ball in his hands when this is going on. But I think the important thing with Devontae is that Devontae recognized that he didn't need to have the ball in his hands, that Malik did. And so Devontae, recognizing that situation, didn't try to go hero ball, got the ball in Malik's hands. That's what a leader does.
Yeah, he did. And that the one thing that drove me nuts was that late turnover that Devontae had where he tried to, like, force the ball into DeSosa on an angle that wasn't even there. And, like, DeSosa's never going to catch that. It was like throwing it to Mitch. Like, that was never going to happen. And I was mad because I was like, why would you even try that? Like, give it to Malik. And that's sort of when I tweeted it. And then, like, the next 16 plays, Malik just took over. And then, obviously, Sfi's three was the biggest shot of the game. And we should probably talk about that.
It didn't. Yeah, let's talk about Sfi's three. So we're down three. We've got, 20 seconds left, but not enough time in the shot clock to run out the clock. So Duke's going to get another possession. We needed a 3-point bucket, and we run sort of this jankety chop. I mean, we sort of run off a screen. Sfi gets it and then just decides, okay, I guess I'll shoot it.
Yeah.
And it goes in. It was not the prettiest play.
Whatever.
It's not going to be, it'll probably be in the one shining moment video, but it's not going to be this epic, delicately drawn play that's executed perfectly. It was just Sfi got the ball, didn't really know what to do with it, took a step forward,
pretty open,
shot it,
yeah,
shot it, and it went in. And I guess that's what happens with the zone. But Sviatoslav comes in clutch. I don't know if you know this, Kevin. You probably do because you're on Twitter. But Sviatoslav has set the record for most three-pointers in a single season for a Kansas Jayhawk, beating your boy Jeff Boshi.
Boshi, yeah, how about that? I did not know that, actually. I knew he was getting close. That's awesome. He deserves it, man. He's been great this year. looking at his stat line, Andrew, Sfi Mykhailiuk had 10 rebounds.
Okay, let's talk about topic number two.
His defense.
Rebounds.
His defense,
rebounds
too.
And defense. If you want to talk about rebounds, so Marvin Bagley, consensus top two pick, maybe it's DeAndre Ayton, but probably Marvin Bagley, goes for a respectable 16 and 10. Now, he had averaged 22, for the tournament so far. So he had 10 rebounds, but guess who also had 10 rebounds? Sviatoslav.
The guy guarding
also,
him.
Guess who also had 10 rebounds? Silvio D'Souza, not even Doak. Doak had 8.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that whatever we did led to us out rebounding Duke by 15.
Yeah, it's nuts.
When you go come off this Seton Hall game, you come off this Angel Delgado game where he goes, 23 and 22 against you, whatever yeah. It is, some historic number that hasn't really been reached before. Against us, it makes you really, really nervous when you're playing the best offensive rebounding in the country, including Marvin Bagley, the number one player in the country, theoretically. So when you see those circumstances and those facts line up against you, you don't have an optimistic viewpoint. But the fact that we out-rebounded Duke by 15 is incredible.
Nuts.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's nuts. And looking back, I'm sure there's a reason for it. Like looking, what happened here, what happened there. But I can't even really point to it. It just felt like we were gang rebounding, a lot. Like it, because it wasn't just was Sfi. I mean, Graham had 6. Newman had 7. You mentioned Doak had 8. I mean, you get 6, 10, and 7 from the three guards. I mean, 23 boards from those three. That's before your front court even gets involved. I mean, that's wild. And, it was that was probably the difference in the game, right? When you look down, you see stats and whatever, and they struggled from 3-point range, like whatever. But the difference was keeping them off the offensive glass. They still had some chances. They still got some good, good putbacks and stuff. But overall, that was the story in the game because we could have just got drilled in that department. And it felt like a little bit they were not playing their normal game on that. I mean, usually, they would just crash the offensive boards. I think they were doing that maybe a little less than they have in the past. I think they were concerned about our transition. And so they were sending people back a little bit more. But at the same time, I mean, we didn't get out in transition that much, but it didn't matter because we played pretty good defense and they missed shots. I mean, let's be honest. You look up and see Grayson Allen goes 2 for 9 from three, which one of them late didn't matter. And Gary Trent Jr. goes 2 for 10, which is that's all awesome. And they had some open looks, but we felt like we played pretty good defense too.
Right. And you know, that Grayson Allen floater at the end that goes in and out twice to go to overtime. That goes in, we're not having this conversation. But the fact that ball rolled our way on that occasion and we took advantage of it, you know, that's basketball. I mean, there could have happened a million other ways, and we came back and played our hearts out in overtime and got the victory. At least Malik did in overtime. Next thing I want to talk about, let's talk about the zone and zone busting. I think this was a game that we have been preparing for probably all season. When Bill Self says, okay, we now have to go prepare for a Duke zone after beating Clemson on Friday night. I don't think it was an incredible challenge. I think that this team knew what to do, knew the tools, had the scheme. They just had to go out and execute. I mean, we've had games where we had to put LeGerald in the middle. LeGerald has to figure out what to do, find the open man. And I think that he was able to do that here. What do you think about our zone busting?
Yeah, we have obviously faced the zone quite a bit. Honestly, we haven't played all that well against it at times, but you're exactly right. This was a team who definitely looked like they had played against this exact zone before. And I mean, you could almost even say we were better at executing our offense against their zone than their zone defense was against executing against us. And it almost makes you wonder, it's not a team that – it's obviously a young team in Duke, and they took this zone defense, scheme and made it their own about halfway through the season. Certainly probably are not, not to the level like Syracuse is playing that scheme. And they couldn't keep up with us, man. We were moving the ball well, getting them in the center. And it just felt like the difference between this and past games is when we got it in there, the ball didn't stick. Like, you got it into, LeGerald, and LeGerald would be like, boom, out, boom, to the boom to the corner, make people collapse in there, and then you got a wide-open shooter. And we got so many good corner three looks against that zone, which you give this team a bunch of corner three looks, they're going to hurt you. And it turned out we did. And I actually thought, DeSosa played pretty well. That was kind of the one wild card because, everyone else has sort of played it, obviously, since the beginning of the season. I thought DeSilvio did a pretty good job against the zone. There were probably even more opportunities to get him the ball and on some, on some lobs and stuff, and they just didn't do it because it wasn't Doke. But that was kind of the one thing where we could have had some trouble, and I thought Silvio actually did all right. Played 26 minutes, Andrew.
And Doke only played 19, so he had to play the bulk of those minutes at that position. I think he held his own against Marvin Bagley, and I think that at least on offense, able to do some nice things. I don't think they ran a ton for him, except for an after timeout play. They ran him off a screen, had him do a screen, and he kind of a modified pick and roll, but did a little bit more and had an easy layup. One of the greatest plays that drawn up that was in that game. And so Silvio, one thing that we can notice about him, he played 26 minutes. Mitch played none. I think Silvio's grown up. I think
sorry,
we can trust
Mitch.
Him now. Sorry, Mitch.
Hashtag sorry, Mitch.
Sorry,
We brought this up
Mitch.
A long time ago.
Yeah, we knew it was coming.
We've been talking about this.
Once Silvio got there, I mean, it's sorry, Mitch time. And Silvio's grown up. He can be trusted. I think he made a couple mistakes here and there, but I think he played solid the whole game. And he was needed. I mean, he was a guy who was out there in an Elite Eight game against Duke. Held his own, looked good, looked great against, top 10 NBA draft guys. Wendell Carter and Marvin Bagley. He was out there. He was a man out there.
Yeah, he was. And I'm really excited about the fact that we talked about this. When he started to sort of figure it out a little bit, it changed the dimension of this team 180 degrees. Because all of a sudden, you actually do have some front court depth, and you actually do have a legitimate guy with some size that's not playing completely out of position like Mitch was. Like, it wasn't Mitch's fault that he had to play the five. I mean, he's not a five. But, man, when we had Silvio starting to figure that out, obviously the Big 12 tournament was so important for him. Like, that could not have worked out any better for Kansas. Because I don't think we're here right now without him getting all that experience and all that play and obviously getting confidence in himself and his ability in this offense and figuring out the scheme and what we were trying to do. And, man, it just seems like had that not happened, I don't think we're here where we are today. And that's pretty cool and also kind of just crazy to think about.
And just to kind of take that one step further beyond Silvio, you know, this late in the season, I don't think that you can point to many teams specific, and I'll just limit it to KU teams, where we're still figuring out who we are, or we're still trying to maximize who we are. And that comes down to Malik Newman trying to figure it out, like Malik Newman becoming a player that he thought he was, that we thought he was. It's how to figure out how to get Doak in there and how to play with Doak in foul trouble. And then, you know, how to play with Silvio D'Souza and have him play, you know, with this team. So, you know, this team wasn't complete March 1st. This team wasn't even complete 2 weeks ago after the Big 12 tournament. It's still developing. And I guess the long and short of it is it's still getting better.
Yeah. No, that's the crazy part when you look at this, Andrew. Obviously, I don't think Malik can play much better. But you look at the box score, you can't tell me that Devontae has played well. That he played well in that game, that he's played well in the tournament. There is still a chance that we get the Devontae game, and you pair that with Doak getting 18 and 10 and Malik shooting, you know, making five threes and you know, driving the ball, and Sfee doing his thing, and Vic all of a sudden playing. I mean, Vic's had a good March all of a sudden. He's been playing pretty well. He had some turnovers today, but overall played pretty well and played well the last few games too. This team has still not put it completely all together yet. Now, today was about as close as we've been, right? I mean, this was about as close as we could get without Devontae really showing out. But what's interesting is we're probably going to need it, but we got one more game left against an incredible opponent in Villanova, and then obviously we'll see what happens on the other side of the bracket if we get there. But we're going to need it. We're going to need a really good Devontae against Villanova. And the good news is he hasn't shot that bullet yet. So we'll see.
He's got a lot of bullets left. If he has any, he's been playing so much. I don't want to know. I don't want to say this is true, but you can't help but thinking, is he just worn down? He's been playing every minute of every game for the past 3 months. I don't think so. He's a young enough guy. But it's something you think about at least. But you know, there's a Devontae game coming, a game where he, you know, he's just making everything. We've seen this happen before, and usually it's like every other game. And he was Big 12 Player of the Year for a reason. Led this team, you know, to the Big 12 championship, won by two games. And he's the leader of this team and highest scoring guy on the team. But haven't seen that really since Big 12 tournament started. It's been the Malik Newman show, but there's a Devontae game coming. The biggest players make the biggest plays in the biggest games. And there's no bigger player than Devontae Graham coming up in the Final Four. You know, it's coming. If he's clicking and everybody else is playing just the same, there's not a team that can beat us. Not Villanova, not Loyola, not Michigan. If he's clicking, this team will win the national title.
All right, let's switch gears for a second because I want to talk about perspective here, Andrew. We've got a team that was dating back to middle of the year, early Big 12 season in particular, a team that a lot of people, and I'm not just talking about some you know, Kansas fans. I'm talking about national media, local media, you know, a lot of people were saying, you know, I see this Kansas team. They might win the Big 12, but they just aren't. They don't have it. It's a different team. It's a different Bill Self doesn't quite have these. They're losing all these home games. It just doesn't look like what we're used to from Kansas, right? You heard that a zillion times. I mean, you could go back through and basically check off every single national media person on that. Did you ever hear anyone saying, like routinely over and over again, Kansas, Kansas, Kansas is good. Kansas is great. Kansas is a legitimate Final Four team. Like, you never heard that ever, right?
No, no. We heard that in the past couple of years.
Sure.
With Frank Mason and with Perry Ellis 2 years ago, this team could do it all. This team could do it all. You know, we're kind of the forgotten one seed this year. Like, we are a one seed, but everybody kind of like forgets about it. I think we're the third number or the third ranked pick out of the Midwest, you know, of people picking it. Everybody picked Duke or picked Michigan State. They didn't pick Kansas. And then I think this goes back to the Kentucky game at the Champions Classic. So that's the second game we played this year. Ugly. And it was very ugly. We won that game 65-61. This is where right before we learn a little bit more about Billy Preston not playing for whatever reason. There's a car wreck involved. What's going on? We come out and win the game against, you know, a Kentucky team that full of recruits and, you know, full of a John Calipari type team. And we win an ugly game, but it's almost as if we lost. I mean, no one was talking about Kentucky and Kentucky's team. You know, they were given the excuse of, oh, they'll be good later on. You know, they'll get it figured out. They're just young. This Kansas team, however, they don't have it. They won the game today, but they don't have it. This isn't going to be their year. It's going to be either this Duke or this Michigan State team that we saw in the first game. But nope, Kentucky, Kansas, not their year. So I think the narrative and the talking points, you know, really started from there. And then we kind of went on a tear. We won a bunch of games against some bad teams. Against some fairly good teams. One against Syracuse. Lost those games at the Sprint Center and Allen Fieldhouse in December, Washington and Arizona State. And then after that, I think we were completely off the national radar. We were off some local radar too. Some of these Kansas people were like, okay, this is the year. We're not going to win the Big 12. We're done. Eh. You know, we have some success. We lose to Texas Tech, you know, looking very poorly at Allen Fieldhouse, beginning of the Big 12 season, go to 1-1. Texas Tech looked like it's going to tear up the league along with Oklahoma. This was Oklahoma was good. This is West Virginia looked pretty good at that time. Long time ago. But, you know, around, you know, February into January, we get DeSosa playing, and it wasn't because of him, but just kind of things all coming together. Get DeSosa playing. Malik starts to figure it out. Devontae starts to really come into his own. Udoka plays like a man-child that he is, and it all started to come together. And you know what? We've lost very few games since then. Lost a couple weird ones to Oklahoma State. Still don't get noticed. But, you know, we started to notice around here. This team could be pretty good. This team could be pretty good because we've got the pieces. They just have to figure it out. And I think that they got closer and closer. You know, we lose to Baylor in a weird one in Waco. And then we really turn it on. Beat Iowa State, beat West Virginia, beat Oklahoma by 30. And then, we know, when we go to Lubbock, beat Texas Tech to really solidify the Big 12 title. Do we win it there? Yeah, we win it. We win it that night. And then, you know, close out the season with a win at Texas and then the weird loss to Oklahoma State. You know, that's when I was like, okay, this team could do it. I didn't even think we could get a one seed, but I thought, you know what, we could do it. And then we go into Big 12 tournament without Udoka and clean up. Malik Newman becomes an NBA player, and then we reach the tournament. So that's what I think. I mean, I think that not having all this attention is good for a team like this, where there are doubters, because maybe when they get a little confidence, I mean, obviously we've seen that because they've lost some games at Allen Fieldhouse with their fans behind them, 16,300 behind them. Maybe they need a little adversity, and maybe it's good that we're going up against someone like Villanova instead of Loyola in a Final Four game. And I don't think they're going to need any motivation at that level, but you know, we look at this team They need some doubters. They need to prove something. And you know, the old cliche is, you know, a chip on their shoulder. And maybe that's it. But maybe it's they need to prove themselves, to prove what they have. And, you know, I think that they've done that so far. But we're going to the Final Four. Got some tough tests ahead of us. Kevin, what do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Bill Self even said it in the post game that it was good that we played Duke in this game. That we, like, having Duke on the jersey, you know, gets you obviously focused, like gets your attention. If we'd have played Loyola in this game, or equivalent, I mean, you could do what K-State did. I mean, you look down and you're like, oh man, we got Loyola to go to the Final Four. Are you kidding me? Or hell, we got VCU to go to the Final Four. Are you kidding me? I mean, it was easier to get everyone's attention when you look over and see five pros on the other side that you're staring at. But God, for some reason, Andrew, so I was pretty pessimistic about our chances against Duke, obviously for a lot of reasons. The way that we match up, their talent, you know, it never really felt very good to me. And then I saw them play Syracuse and watched that game, and it was something about their zone that I just didn't, I thought all of a sudden people are talking about what Kansas can't do against them. And I just started thinking, if we make any shots and if we move the ball, like, their zone is not that good. And then the other thing, for some reason today, I felt really confident about this game. And it just came back to this very thing we've talked about on this podcast this year. When KU is an underdog in Vegas, KU is 4-1 straight up.
Ooh.
When KU is a legitimate underdog, you know, per the line, KU is 4-1. And Andrew, KU is 14-2 against ACC teams straight up under Bill Self. So, like, when you're looking at those two things, for some reason, I was just like, you know what? They're going to be ready. I mean, this is good. And going back to what you're just talking about, you look back to February 13th. That was right after we got crushed at Baylor. We lost 2 of 3. We lost 3 of 6. And we were going on the road to Iowa State. And everyone said must win, right? Must win. You got to win this one. And frankly, you pretty much need to win the rest, too, to have a chance. And basically, they did that. The only time we've lost since February 13th, Andrew, the only time in over a month, I mean, 6 weeks, was that silly throwaway game at Oklahoma State when it didn't matter because we'd already locked up the Big 12 title. We haven't lost a game in 6 weeks. And it really just goes back to all the things that you mentioned. They figured it out. Malik coming around and being a legitimate go-to guy, I think, has been the biggest part of that. But I think, you know, Doak turning into what he's been you know, obviously getting all the other pieces to play their roles. It's been an incredible run and fun to watch, especially a weird to watch KU be under the radar going into March and going into the tournament, being that forgotten one seed. It's a weird thing to watch, but they ain't forgotten no more. I mean, they got through the region of death, the Midwest, with the Michigan State and Duke and all these other teams. Kansas outlasts them all, and we're going to San Antonio.
So I'm watching the replay of the game on CBS Sports Network. It is currently 72-69. There's 1 minute and 13 seconds left. I'll keep you posted. I'll keep you posted. One last thought on what you were just talking about in terms of, like, under the radar and national media. First of all, who cares? Don't care. I mean, sure. I don't care what someone at ESPN has to say. It doesn't matter. Who cares? Another thing about
different,
it
though.
Is
it's different. It's right. New. It's something right. New. That's all I'm pointing out.
Another comment that they make is that this team isn't the best Bill Self team. And you know what? They're right. But it doesn't matter. Who cares? Who cares? I mean, if you look back to, let's just keep it to this quadrant of the past 3 years where we've been to the Elite Eight. You know, this is not the best of those three teams. It's probably third out of those three teams. But you know what? It doesn't matter. You know, 2 years ago, we were the number one overall seed, and we lost to Villanova. Good, tough game, whatever. Last year, number one seed lost to Oregon in the Elite Eight. Oh, Svi just made it, by the way.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But you know what? This year, Svi just made that three-pointer, and we went to overtime, and we won the game because of Malik Newman. That's what happened this year. And this team could win the national championship game. It's going to be tough, but you don't get to a national title without games being hard. You play against good teams. You beat good teams. That's how you win a national title. Sorry, K-State.
Sorry.
And that's all I have to say, is that who cares if it's Bill Self's best team or not, or a good team, or compared to the other ones? Who cares? This team can win the national title this year. Under the radar, who cares? We've got the guys to do it. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, beating Duke and winning, what is it, like 14 of our last 15 games, that's pretty obvious that we can do it. And, God, we have 31 wins, 31-7. It's an incredible season all in. No matter what happens now, it is completely house money. That's the best part. I mean, Bill was sort of, Self was sort of saying that leading into this game. He's like, hey, you know, we got here. We're playing in this game. We can be free and whatever, because you know, it's whatever happens, it's been a good season. But I feel that way now. You know what I mean? Like, now that we've made the Final Four, if we lose to Villanova, I mean, it's a tough game, and obviously an excellent team and whatever. At least, like, no one thought we'd be here. But because of that, because you can play with the free mind, there's nothing to worry about. There's no pressure at all. We're going to be an underdog again in that game. I don't know what it's going to be. KenPom has it a 6-point difference between Villanova and Kansas, 82-76. 29% chance to win.
The earliest line was 5, and that came out just after the game. I don't know if that'll stay that way.
Actually, I like Kansas there. I mean, I think we can stay within 5 with Villanova. I think we actually match up fairly well. The teams are fairly close. I think it comes down to which team's making the threes that night, because Villanova can fill it up too. But anyway, that will be so crazy to watch. We're obviously going to talk about that later. Like, we're going to do a whole podcast on prepping for the tournament, or for San Antonio. But I think, just big picture perspective, what an incredible year. You look back, where we started, where this team has gone, the Billy Preston stuff, the Silvio coming in, Doak getting hurt, Devonte going through struggles shooting the ball, but still being a leader, Malik struggling, Vic being awesome and then completely sucking and then being awesome again. I mean, it's just, and then Mitch, Clay Young playing minutes. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff you can look at, but, you look down and they're in the Final Four, and that's all that matters.
That's all that matters. Before we wrap this thing up, Kevin, let's do tell the folks we're going to have some content for you coming up. I'm not done talking about KU basketball on a microphone. So be looking for that in the next couple of days. But before we get out of here, Kevin, I just want to ask you, we've done this a couple times, as adults, or, college students / adults. What do you do, you personally, what do you do to get ready for, or to do a Final Four week? Like, think back to 2012, 2008, 03, you were in college. What's that week like for you? Can you remember back to those feelings, to what you did, what you felt like, what anything personally you did?
Yeah, literally nothing else matters. Like, that's all you're thinking about, right?
Yep.
I'm checked out at work. I'm reading every single piece of every single media, college basketball post that I can find talking about the Final Four. I'm talking to every friend about it. I'm talking to my coworkers about it. I'm, consuming every piece of media. It's just like passing the time to get there. It takes forever. It takes forever to get there. But I think that's what I do. And that's honestly some of the reasons I keep the blog around and keep the Twitter account stuff. I mean, this is the world that I kind of need just personally to get through to the next game, to have an outlet to talk about Kansas. And that will be my week. I think I'm not in college it was a little different because you're just like, I need to find the bar on Mass Street that I'm going to watch it at just in case. I think in 2012 I was living in Lawrence, so I was able to get down to, you know, to Mass Street when we made it to the Final Four. This year, I don't think I'll be able to get down there, but you know, everything leading up to it will just be like, what more can I consume about this game? What about you?
Well, I mean, it's an interesting kind of trajectory. So we'll start with 08. I was in law school and still in that college era time, because I was a 1L, so I was 1 year removed from college, and still had all my friends were still going to KU and still, you know, in college, living that undergrad life. And so I was able to go to Quinton's, you know, get a seat for Friday, get a seat for Monday, and spend basically the entire day there.
Yeah, that's what you have to do.
And you can do that as, you know, someone who's theoretically still in college, you know, or still a student. And so like that was great. I mean, that was the life. And then 12, I was, once again, I had a job, so it was a little different. But luckily, you know, people around here understand, you know, college basketball, and especially when your team makes a Final Four. Okay, so by the way, Malik just hit a three-pointer to go up by one in overtime. Oh, just to keep you updated. Yeah. And then 12, so a little different. And then, you know, moving here, I don't know what I'm going to be the same way. I'm going to be consuming everything, trying to listen to every podcast, watch every article or read every article about this and get mad when they don't pick KU, but then secretly don't get mad because I don't want them to pick KU, because right. I'm going to be going through all those emotions. I'm probably going to watch this Duke game a couple times. I've got it DVRing from CBSSports.com. And you know what? They cut out like 10 minutes of the first half that I was going to, you know, fast forward through anyway. So perfect. Thanks for that, CBS, for already cutting that out. But yeah, this is going to be a fun week. It's going to be new for me. I mean, new because I'm a little older. We got, you know, I'm married, have a house, have obligations, you know. So at each step of these Final Fours, you see, like, you know, personal milestones as well. You know, I can't do this. I can do this. You know, I wasn't able to go to Mass Street. I'm very disappointed in that. But you know what? You kids down there, enjoy yourselves. Stay as late as you can. The cops really don't care. They don't care. If, as long as you're not, like, punching anybody, they don't care. Don't drive drunk or anything. But, like, have fun out there. Like, have fun.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is happen that often. It does not happen that enjoy this.
Just be good, but go enjoy yourselves. Go enjoy yourself down there. You know, find yourself a good place to watch it if you can't make it down to San Antonio. And enjoy the week. You know, this is what Kansas basketball is all about. Making Final Fours. And, you know, winning national championships and the fans just reveling in the process.
Absolutely. Yeah. A couple tips. If you're going to watch the game on Mass Street and then hopefully celebrate afterwards, bring some beer in plastic cups, have it in your car ready to go. And then no bottles. That's key, because the cops will take the bottles away. But if you got solo cups and you got beers and cans, they won't even take it away. You just walk around Mass Street drinking beer. Like, when else do you get to do that? Ever. That's really the only rule. Don't climb anything.
Don't climb anything. It. Like you probably can, but they'll ask you to get
people clap there. For you. Yeah, people will, like, cheer for you if you climb something. but eventually you have to get down and they'll, you know, tell you not to do that again. But yeah, that's basically the only rule. Like, don't have glass. Don't punch anybody. No one's going to punch you.
Don't be an idiot, but just have fun. Have fun. Go down there and do it. Gosh. You know, and if you're not watching it, you're not going down to Mass Street. If you're watching in Overland Park, or you're watching it wherever you are, for New York City, if you're in Los Angeles, wherever you are, enjoy yourselves there too. You know, don't get crazy, but this is the best time to be a Jayhawk. Wear your Jayhawk stuff to work this week. Wear it. out in public, because this will be the week that everyone will be like, hey, it's Jayhawks. Hi, good Rock Chalk Jayhawk. This is the week to be proud, to wear your Jayhawk, to wear your crimson and blue. This is what we live for, Kevin. It's been a while. It's been 6 years. This is what we live for.
Yeah, you're right. And I'm so glad, Andrew, that we got to do a podcast today, because many of our listeners who've been around for a while would know that had we lost this game,
We wouldn't do one probably until August.
For a while.
Probably wouldn't do one until August, you know, and even then, depending on if we're going to be into KU football or not, like it may be October. So right. Luckily you're going to have a bunch more content that's going to, you know, tide you over. Cause you know, between KU basketball season getting over and then, you know, it's starting up again or football starting up again, we have stuff to do. So, you know, not a huge priority for us, but this is priority number one for you, Kevin. This is priority number one, you know, just KU basketball generally. Priority number one for me and for everyone listening. This is priority number one. KU. This is KU basketball week. You got to get ready for Villanova on Saturday. And that's what we talk about on the next podcast. Hopefully the next couple days.
Yeah. I don't know when yet. We'll figure something out. We'll put something together between now and, I don't know, Tuesday or Wednesday. We might have a guest on. We'll see what happens there. We might not. But either way, we'll have some more content coming to you this week. This is the best week of the year, Andrew, after getting to the Final Four. Enjoy it. Have a ton of fun. Talk to all your friends. Don't do any work. Read every blog. Read every website. Watch the game over 10 times because we just beat mother effing Duke to get to the Final Four. I can't believe it. It's awesome. And overtime. And Andrew, might I remind you, you probably saw it recently. Did you see Grayson Allen miss the shot to win? They could have won the game. Do you see him miss that?
Poor Grayson. Yeah, it's already happened on my live feed here.
Yeah, poor Grayson. It's just
ended his career. I mean, it's only fitting that we did it. We ended his career.
It just feels so good. Oh, my God. I've just been wearing a smile on my face ever since that. It was the time when the smile really showed up was when they showed Kay like zoomed. You know, they do the camera angle or the camera shot where they zoom in like all you can see is his face. Like they zoom in that far. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all it is just Kay like super duper sad. And I was just like, give it to me. Give me all the sads, Kay. I need all the sads. I was just loving it. Oh man, that was awesome. I got not much else to say, Andrew, other than I'm gonna be having some sweet dreams of KU basketball. Hopefully, winning two more games down in San Antonio. We've done it before.
It's a good spot. It's a good spot to have a Final Four. A good spot to win a Final Four. Let's go do it.
All right, let's get out of here. Thanks so much for listening. Hit us up on Twitter. All I'm going to be doing all week is just retweeting KU basketball stuff and talking with fans because that's all I want to do. I'm sure you're going to be the same way, Andrew. Sherlock Hoops at Jayhawk Talk. We will catch you sometime in the middle of the week. We'll figure it out. You'll see it when you see it. Looking forward to that. And as always, rock chalk. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, this baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. I tried to tell them. Every time we on the court, I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.
hogs. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we hogs, baby.
This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we hogs, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering, nine times get to cheering with them banners held high, and the crowd going wild, night before the final four, you can't even sleep now, yeah we at the peak now, we can't even leap down, March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.